Thank you, Alex. Brothers, it's a joy to be here with you, even if we do have some technical difficulties. Sometimes technology is difficult to work with. As time passes and as technology increases, it feels like I'm going backwards instead of advancing with technology. But it's a great joy being here with everyone, and overall, it's speaking of the theme of the of expository preaching. To me, I've had the privilege of speaking about preaching in the Old Testament, and so if you could open your Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of Ezra. We're going to be in the book of Ezra. And we're going to go to chapter 7 of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. And while you open your page, I don't know if you know about Michael King and Alberta Williams. They were married on Thanksgiving Day. That's a great day for a marriage. In 1926 is when they were married. Alberta was the daughter of a senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. After the death of her father in 1931, Michael King replaced his father-in-law as a pastor at Ebenezer and began using the name of Martin Luther King. And maybe some of you have heard of him. Michael King was a prominent Baptist preacher and influencer in the African-American community in the state of Atlanta in Georgia. His advocacy for civil rights at Ebenezer Baptist Church inspired his son, and who is known worldwide as Martin Luther King Jr., who was born January 15, 1929. And as you might expect, Jr. was raised in a Christian home that fomented his sense of helping others and his community services. These were all influences that encouraged him in this movement of the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King Jr., studied at Morehouse College, and he graduated in 1948 with a bachelor's degree in sociology. At Morehouse, he had a crucial role in this development, and this was where he was inspired to enter into the ministry. And this was under the influence of the college president, Benjamin Mays, who was a well-known theologian and civil rights advocate. After this, King attended Crozer Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania, and during a time there, he obtained his Bachelor's of Divinity in 1951. During this time, King excelled academically and was influenced by various theologians during that time. He continued his education in Boston University, and he got a bachelor's in philosophy with an emphasis in systematic theology. His thesis reflected his deep commitment to theology and philosophy. Years later, as you might know, Jr. became known for his firm belief in the fight of equality for African Americans in the United States, and he believed in a society where all people were judged by their character and not by the color of their skin, and he advocated through nonviolent means. King used his oratory skills as a preacher to educate and mobilize the masses, and his famous speech, maybe you have heard of it, is his I Have a Dream speech that was delivered during his March on Washington in 1963. And this is an eloquent call, according to him and those who followed him, and a passionate call for equality and justice. He was instrumental in multiple protests, peaceful protests, and they not only challenged the segregationist laws, but they also educated the public about the injustices and demonstrated the power of peaceful protest. And according to his followers, and according to him himself, Martin Luther King Jr., he not only fought for civil rights, but he also left a legacy, an educational legacy that continued to inspire future generations. His followers affirm that his commitment to equality continues to be a source of inspiration and a role model for those seeking to change the world through love and peace. For all of this, we can say that his conviction, preparation, and teaching that he obtained through various generations, and we can say that he caused a lot of changes in the United States and in society during his time. And now, brothers, I want to speak to you about another figure, another person that you may know and others may not know. This person was very important for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And I'm speaking of Ezra, who was a scribe and a priest to the people of Israel. And in contrast to Martin Luther King Jr., Ezra, based on what God has inspired him to write, has reached many generations up to this day. And it's because of that that we need to look toward him, towards his model, and look for what Yahweh communicated in his time to his original audience so that we may also understand and commit to the sacred scriptures. So let's go to Ezra. I expect that we are all there. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. And it's just one verse that is full of wisdom and richness and spiritual richness. Ezra chapter 7, and we're going to be in verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 7 of Ezra. And it says, the word of God. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it and to teach his statute and judgment in Israel. Let us pray and ask for God's assistance. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you because in this verse we can see truths that are going to help us to live in a way that reflects your will. Lord, we want to ask you that you would please minister in our lives through your Holy Spirit and through your beautiful word, and that we may be able to leave here not just being hearers but doers of this marvelous word. Please allow us to know you and to understand you and to obey you every day more and more through this ministry. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory. Amen. Brothers, here in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, we see three qualities of a preacher that has determined to value Yahweh's law. And those that are taking notes, we have three qualities of a preacher who has determined to value Yahweh's law. And these three qualities are study, practice, and teach. Study, practice, and teach. And we're going to look at these one by one. And if you didn't write it down, you can write it down as we go along. But so let's go ahead and start with the first quality. And the first one that we see is, number one is the first quality that Ezra had was that he studied the law of Yahweh. Number one, he studied the law of Yahweh. Verse 10, the only verse that we have. Look at verse 10 and look at how it begins. It says, verse 10, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh to practice it." To study the law of Yahweh. And the first thing that we want to look at is the word "for," which is a conjunction that is used by the author to give the reason that justifies what is expressed in the preceding verse. So let's look at the preceding verse, verse 9. Notice verse 9, how it ends. It ends. Let's read all of it. "For on the first of the month, he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem." And notice, here's this phrase, because the good hand of his God was upon him. Because the good hand of his God was upon them. Ezra was communicating that the reason that the good hand of Yahweh was upon him was because, and followed him through his journey from Babylon. And remember, in the context, this is when the state of Israel, or the people of Israel, were in captivity for 70 years, and now they are returning to Jerusalem. And then in verse 6 of chapter 7, notes that they are traveling back to Jerusalem, and that is where you see the hand of Yahweh, his God. Now, this is a result of what? Of what we just read in verse 10. Ezra had set his heart to study. He had set his heart. And now, what do we think of when we think of Ezra setting his heart? There are many verses that we think of, but something that comes to mind is what Daniel says in, you can read it in Daniel 10, verse 2, which also speaks about how the moment when Daniel had set his heart, he had prepared his heart to obey, to be behind the word of the Lord, to be attached to the Lord. And the answer had been given to Daniel. And in that context, we can see that Ezra and Daniel were both men whose hearts were leaned toward Yahweh and toward his law and his word. And each time when a man of God, a woman of God, sets his heart or her heart to obey, to study the word of the Lord, Yahweh's hand is upon him. And this was clear to Ezra. And what we see here in these first verses, and it's necessary to know that this phrase, the good hand of the Lord, is repeated various times in the book of Ezra, about six times specifically, and with reference to the favor and the help that God gives to Ezra and the people of Israel. But there's also a promise that has been given through the prophets that after the 70 years of captivity, he would make the people of Israel return to Jerusalem. And because of the disposition of Ezra, that he had set his heart to study the Lord, the law of the Lord, God was fulfilling his purpose in this situation. In modern terms, the man and woman of God has to set his heart on the Holy Scriptures. As a diligent scribe, Ezra was determined to live according to the commandments given to Moses. Remember, he did not have the New Testament. In fact, this idea of preparing or determining or setting the heart is connected with the command in the law to love Yahweh with all your heart that we see in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6. This is the attitude that God expects of his people, nothing less, nothing more. And brothers, it is crucial to understand the importance of this, that since then, since the Old Testament, to treasure the word of Yahweh is a path to blessing for the people of God. And Leviticus restates this in Leviticus 26, 3 through 6. Leviticus 26, and we can look at this if you want to go there. Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. And some of you might, in your Bible, have the title of the blessings of obedience. And then after that, the curses of disobedience. So Moses had made very clear through these discourses what Israel ought to do. And look at verse 3. It says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to do them, then I shall give your rains in their season, so that the land will give forth its produce, and the trees of the field will give forth their fruit. Verse 6, I shall also give you peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. And verse 11, and I will put my wall, and I will be among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Ezra knew what his responsibility was. The blessings was never given as a result of tithing or making covenants with God or giving up the first fruits to receive money in exchange. True blessing comes from treasuring the law of God, to be committed to the Holy Scriptures. King David knew this. King David knew the importance of valuing the law of Yahweh. And notice what he says in Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8, he says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my inner being. Just like David, Ezra understood that if he delighted in God's law, he would experience his favor and his guide for his daily life. And why is it important? Why is it important to talk and teach about this? It's because the context doesn't, the context here is not, the people of Israel did not treasure the law of God due to the lack of attention to the Pentateuch and the prophets, and that's why the people of Israel were taken captive for 70 years. Notice what 2 Chronicles says. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 15. And Yahweh, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again, and speaking of those who were taken to captivity, by the hand of his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his habitation. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. And notice what he says there, until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people, until there was no remedy. And notice that it's important to understand the disposition of someone's heart before knowing what the steps are for a person who is committed to Yahweh's God, what he must do to preach and announce Yahweh's word. So returning to point number one, notice the word that we began with. Point number one, Ezra chapter 7, verse 1, says that he had set his heart to study. Let's study this word. This word study means more than just reading the law, more than just reading the word. This represents someone who values God and his word. And when he inquires into God's word, he makes a diligent search of everything that Yahweh has said in his word. Someone who is constantly wanting to invest his time to know God. And that's why I said that the first quality of Ezra that we see in this verse is to study the law of God. It's because this concept of searching or studying is also found in parts of the New Testament, and this reflects an attitude of looking for wisdom, of seeking wisdom in the Word of God and understanding these fundamental commands of Yahweh. A clear example of this we see in the words of Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs 2, verses 4. It says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as her hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. And speaking of wisdom, wisdom comes through the Word of God. Ezra, as we see in our text, just like Solomon, had this clear that the Word of God was the greatest treasure, more than silver and gold. And his word, brothers, is where we find the knowledge necessary to live in a wise manner as a child of God. But Ezra's intention wasn't just this. The wish was to be able to call Israel to repentance, to genuine repentance. But for this, he would need to live so immersed in the word of Yahweh. There is no space for mistakes in his life. Does that mean he never failed? No. It means that he needed to sacrifice, to make personal sacrifices, even losing his life, as we see in Ezra and Nehemiah, so that he would give God the glory. An illustration within the text we find in Deuteronomy 11, verses 18, and I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. You shall therefore place these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as phylacteries between your eyes. And then it continues, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain above the earth. And remember, brothers, that as we return to the Old Testament, when we see Ezra, we need to look back and a little bit toward the future, depending on where we're reading, but principally backwards. We can't go back. We can't learn the Word of God to study it, to keep it, or to teach it if we don't understand what Ezra is talking about and what he had in mind, and he would have had these verses of the Old Testament in mind. Another passage that's very clear about this, that gives us an example and illustrates, is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. And it says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will be prosperous." What does this mean? This means that if we study the Word of God, we won't have things going wrong. No, that's not true. We know what Christ said, that in this world we will have trouble. It doesn't mean that we'll never get sick. It doesn't mean that nothing will ever go wrong. speaking about the commitment that you have to the Word of God, knowing that if it is His will, it is probable that it will be good with you. But if it's not in His will, you are still saying, I am doing what you have asked me to do, your will be done and not mine, remembering the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers, a biblical preaching can only come from a heart that is completely devoted to study the law of Yahweh. There's no other time for other things. There's nothing, there's no time for more football or more sports and less word. There's no place for that. A person who truly wants to elevate God's word must study it day and night. And principally, as we see Ezra's example, as preachers, and I'm speaking us, because all of us have to be evangelists. Maybe we don't have, we're not in the office of pastor or teacher or our preacher, but you have been called to share the gospel. And principally, those of us who are mediators of a new pact, that is much better, as the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 8, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, speaking of Jesus, and compared to the old ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Brothers, this is urgent that each one of us, leaders, congregants, would commit ourselves to study the Word of God and to live His teachings, just as the Bereans did in the book of Acts. And only in this way will we testify to His grace as we live submerged in a dark world. And in this way, the second quality of a preacher who has determined to value the law of Yahweh is, number two, practice the law of Yahweh. Number two is practice the law of Yahweh. Someone who has determined to value the law of Yahweh will practice it. So let's return one more time to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And we'll continue. For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it. Practice the law of Yahweh. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If there is love for Christ, for Jesus, then you must keep his commandments. The Apostle Paul declares this in Romans 2:13, and he says, For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Those who are justified in Christ Jesus, regarding the true Israelites of his time. The dedication to keeping Yahweh's law wasn't just an intellectual routine during this time and during Ezra's time. This implied an internal transformation in the faith and faith in Yahweh and his word. And this brings a constant action and reflects a commitment, a sincere commitment to obey it. To practice justice and the rights, as is mentioned in Genesis 18:19, it's more than just reading the word. It's keeping the ordinances, the statutes, and the decrees that God has established, as we read in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22, says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to inhabit will not vomit you out." It's not simply, "Oh, yes, I like this." And it doesn't just mean, "Oh, they put the Bible on top of their side table," or "they always carried their Bible with them." Keeping implies something more than just having the Bible close. It means to do it, to practice it. To be a person who practices the law means that you are constantly doing the law. Just think a moment in this. What are you doing right now that the Copa America, the American Cup and the European Cup? What would a soccer player do who practices football? This would be a person who constantly, day by day and week by week and month by month, year by year, practicing that sport. He doesn't do it one or twice a week. He doesn't do it one time when he goes on Sunday to practice. He is constantly practicing, exercising related to the sport, strategies. He is studying what the technical director is telling him he must do. He is constantly talking with other team members about that. And in that way, that's how a Christian should keep and practice the law of Yahweh. It's not just Sunday. It's not just one time once a week. It's constantly and daily. And that is what God was calling the people of Israel to do. And that is not what they did, as we have noticed. They did not keep his statutes and his ordinances, and they did not do this. And then that brought the catastrophe that we talked about earlier. And this was something foundational for Ezra. He understood that there was no other road, because otherwise Israel would return to be in a negative state before God, and the consequences would be worse. Ezra was convinced that he ought to do the word, to live the word, and practice the word of God. And this was a commitment that should be complete and authentic to God's divine will for the people of Israel that were living in captivity. Israel's situation after generation, through prophetic after prophetic silence and corruption and religious leadership, made the fulfillment and teaching of God's law even more crucial. Just like on our day, where if we talk about the law of God and we only talk about benefits and not commitments, where it is preached from the pulpit, or even when one shares the gospel, something like, "If you listen to me, God is going to bless your life, and you only have to pray this prayer." Just like in the time of Israel, we live in a generation where it is dark, and the little light of the gospel that there is diluted, is corrupted. And even when it's made easier to follow, people don't keep it. To keep the statutes and the law is the mission of Ezra, because that is what is necessary for Israel to live in a right standing before Yahweh. And let's remember, brothers, what happened during the time of the Jews. The failure, the moral failures, the lack of faith, it was intense. We can see in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 13 talks about how there were marriages between the enemies that Yahweh clearly had said, "You shall not do." and they didn't obey that, and that's why there were consequences and the debacle. And that's why Ezra was firm in his in keeping the law of God, being confident that his diligence and faithfulness would draw God's favorable hand upon him and upon his mission, and that is what happened. It's not always like that. Sadly, many look for other pleasures. Many people only want the benefits of Yahweh's law, but don't want to keep it or sacrifice, not for salvation, everyone wants the beautiful parts and they flee from the difficult parts, which is to deny thyself, to take up our cross and follow him. There are people that have given their lives to study different careers, and this is not bad. I think of someone that is known, a technologist, biomechanic engineer, that was also an alpine climber here in the United States, he dedicated his life to apply what he learned about biomechanics and bionics to improve the mobility of humans. He lost both legs in an accident, a climbing accident, at 17 years of age, and because of that, he dedicated his life daily to learn and to create prosthetics, advanced prosthetics that he was able to do. But incredibly, these prosthetics didn't just allow him to walk anew. Everything that he did, everything that he dedicated his life to, was fruitful in his own life. But also, he was able to help others that went through the same, through a similar situation. And currently, he is a leader in bionics and biomechanics at MIT, at a lab where they focus the technologies to rehabilitate. His work has had a significant impact in individuals' lives who have physical disabilities and have improved mobility and improved the quality of life. But what did he have to pay? He lost his legs, but there's a lot of people who have lost their limbs. The price that he paid was dedicating his life to practice constantly, to study, and to seek the road within biomechanics and within everything about prosthetics. And what was the fruit? The fruit was that many have benefited through this. And I ask myself, and I ask you more, how much more important is it to invest in God's word? How much more fruit would we have, would it bring if we learn his word and preach his word? How much more fruit are we called, or how much more are we called to live in the same way that Ezra, to live the commandments of God, not to go away from the word of God, but to bring benefit to others around us. It's not that I'm saved and I'm going to hide and go in a room and live by myself. That person that is like that has not really been saved by the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have been called to follow this road with commitment and fidelity and faithfulness. All the apostles of Christ lived to die, and we ought to live as if we are dead, knowing that he is the only one to whom we owe anything. And just like Ezra, our duty is to keep his word. We can't teach what we are not living. Now, we've seen two of the three qualities of the preacher who is determined to value the law of Yahweh. First, we saw that he must study, and now we saw that he must practice, and now the last quality is quality three, teach with the law. A preacher who is determined to value the law of Yahweh teaches with the law of Yahweh. And let's return to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 10. And we return to the end of that verse that we're studying. And it continues saying, and to practice it, and to teach his statute and judgments in Israel. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it, and to teach his statute and judgments in Israel. This is the last part of verse 10, and it highlights the importance to instruct with the word of Yahweh, that this is this isn't just a superficial act, but it is a profound process, continuous. The word teach doesn't just talk about teaching knowledge, but to guide in the comprehension of these divine precepts. Ezra understood that there was no other road, there was no other way, that he constantly had to teach the word to the people of Israel because they would walk away. And now the teaching that we see here from his statutes and decrees and judgments, Ezra indicates that all of the precepts, the ceremonial and the moral, Ezra is presented as a teacher of justice. In these verses, in this passage, in these biblical passages, you can read the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, just as 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and many think Ezra was the author of this, but they are interlaced, and you will understand how Ezra lived. Open your page to Nehemiah chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 2. Speaking of the reading of God's word to the people of Israel, then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could understand when listening on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday. In the presence of, speaking of preaching, and it was during this time, and it continues, in presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, and then there's other names of people that were there. But Ezra knew what he was doing. He understood what he was doing, and he was committed, as we saw in his heart, to teach, to preach, to instruct. After keeping and practicing the statutes and the decrees of God, he didn't only teach it, but he lived it, as we saw. And this focus of living was demonstrated through profound study of the scriptures, and this gave a guarantee through him. That's to say, he knew that his role was to do what God had sent him to do, to preach in the way that God had told him to, and to speak in the way that God had told him to. He understood that the understanding, the instruction, are all interconnected parts of the ministry, that each of those has to be cultivated with diligence and in the correct order. It is not I say what I want to say, whatever I feel like it, so that people laugh or that people clap. I have to preach the word and nothing else. Now, speaking of decrees and statutes, and we'll close with this. When he speaks of decrees, he's speaking of regulations of conduct for the community, for the people of God. How ought they to live? And that's why we see so many decrees in the book of Leviticus or in Deuteronomy. These were exact decrees that were communicated to the people of God, and these are statutes. These are things that they had to do determined by God's authority. That is to say, what you do and the consequences before God. If you want to know more about that, read Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses clearly tells the second generation of Israelites, before entering the promised land, this is what you must do, because if you don't, this will happen. And if you do this, this will happen. And even with that, they did what they did, and we saw what happened. The influence of Ezra established a model of teaching and perseverance of God's word. And throughout the story, we also saw that there were hardships, that this caused a tendency towards legalism, that saw the real spirit of the law to demonstrate the real purpose of the law of Romans 7:7. I would not have come to know the sin except through the law. The law is impossible to keep, but we must seek it so that we may know our condition. Now, we who are on the other side of the pact, on the other side of the story, we understand and we know clearly that the only person who kept the law of Yahweh is Jesus Christ. This ought to encourage us, if we know that if we need to do something, we have someone who has paid for us and who has ministered for us so that we may do what he has called us to do. Ezra's teaching demonstrates a commitment to God's word, but we have a greater commitment because we know who has completed the word of God, who was able to satisfy all of the demands of the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ was clear when he said he did not come to remove the law, but to fulfill it and the prophets. And in the same way, with our mind put on Christ, we know that we can keep the law of Yahweh, and we can instruct others on the law of Yahweh, but first we must study the law of Yahweh, which will bring about a change in our lives. And brothers, in this day we have seen three qualities of a preacher who is determined to value Yahweh's law, as we saw in Ezra's life. Ezra studied, practiced, and taught with the word of God. And so the last question that we have is, what about us? Ezra was an example to follow with all the principles and everything that he achieved during his life. He helps us to motivate, to understand how we ought to study, how we ought to practice, and how we ought to teach with his word. But all of this, brothers, cannot happen if we don't do it in the power of his Holy Spirit. Those of us that are on the other side of the story, when we know and we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we know and we understand that we need to keep his word and we need to follow his word, and only in God's word and Yahweh's law can we find the benefits of the salvation of our souls through Jesus Christ, and the benefits during this time on this earth and eternal life. The question that we will finish with is, what are we going to do because of this? Only God can help us apply this in our lives, but in the same way, we cannot live separate from these qualities. We must be each one of us faithful to what he has called us to do. We have an example in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. But we also have a calling in Matthew 28:18. Now we have a greater ministry, as I mentioned, greater promises through Jesus Christ. But this Jesus Christ has sent us to go and preach the gospel to everyone, to all the nations. And in this country, we have all the nations in one country. What are we doing with the word of God? Are we really following the mandate to preach the word? But brothers, don't tell me if you are or you are not. If you first have not studied it, if you first have not practiced it, and if you first are not seeking to teach those who are closest to you. This is a calling not just for the pastors, but all of the people of God. Remember how the people of Israel ended even after Israel had preached and taught and demonstrated how they ought to live. They got to the extreme where they crucified Jesus Christ, and you and I say we would not do that. But let's remember that we follow his roads, his statutes, and his decrees, and we owe him our life, and may God help us to fulfill what he would want for us to do in our lives. Lord, we give you thanks, and we pray that you would bless the rest of this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you that you encourage us and push us to follow the examples of other men and women who we find in your word. Father, thank you, because without you and without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all of this would be impossible. Help us to be faithful, to complete our ministry, to preach the gospel for the glory of your name and the benefit of your people. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.